What up, turds? It's live from the Five Hole, faxes from UncleDale.com's weekly podcast and the official podcast of the Sam Fells But Who's Buying newsletter. I am Sam Fells, your host and author and editor of said newsletter. You can find me on Blue Sky at Fellsgate. We are coming to you after the biggest Bears game in history, and it is obviously rife with conclusions that won't change in 2 weeks or in 10 days as we record this. We've got Hawks thoughts as they have returned freshly from a two-game losing streak to beat what is a pretty unwatchable Rangers team. We've got thoughts about it all. So, of course, we are in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew. Leading off with Dr. Viral. He's the biggest jackass, no talent in the business, and he's the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torc Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
Welcome to the ice-cold stove, Sam.
It is so, so cold. Were people upset about Pete Alonso? Was that a thing
people
wanted?
Mets fans were furious.
Oh, cold Mets enough for furious. A polar bear transaction.
Well, they're the only people who give a shit about Pete Alonso.
Right. I thought I caught a whiff that people maybe, in town were upset about it. I'm like, why would you be upset about that?
Maybe they thought it was Xavi Alonso. They were confused.
People are upset about him, too.
It's not a good name to have right now.
Apparently.
I bet Fernando Alonso is somewhere getting yelled at.
I'm sure Fernando Alonso does not care. He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician and our technical supervisor, and he's Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. He's Matt McClure.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. You can find Matt on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. And last but not least, he is the archivist. He is the goal line assassin. He is the oracle of Humboldt Park, and you cannot find him on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night. It's Fifth Feather John.
We've got the hamsters on the wheel, and we're ready to go.
Multiple hamsters on the wheel, so we're hoping he'll sound
But the hamsters aren't plugged in. They're just close to the wheel.
That's right.
They're just closer to the wheel, but his hamster hired an assistant, so, you know, we've got multiple hamsters on it. I will tell the kids that John is not only promising a bursting yellow pad, but he's got archives.
Oh, my archives are bursting today, Sam, so I want
to
start there.
He's gone to where they have top men studying everything. He's gone to the annals, the archives.
Top men.
And he's pulled some stuff.
He's where they keep the Ark of the Covenant.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. He has pulled some stuff, and he has brought it into the light of day, or such as it is for this podcast, so we look forward to it.
We don't do natural sunlight around here.
Yeah. No.
The only naturals we do are big. In Italian.
Big like naturals, Jim Harbaugh. Good.
Like Jim Harbaugh's huge zoobs. All right.
Don't bring zoobs into this. So, I don't know. I know Matt Slack is already burned out on Bears coverage. I want to tell the folks, and I almost released this to the public, and had the Bears won, I might have. The three of us in the real show went on a journey with Andrew Cieslak during last Sunday's Bears game. Thankfully, it ended where it started, where Slack felt as positive about the Bears as he did before the game started. But somewhere around the first quarter, Slack had given up on the game, the season, and possibly life.
I lost my nerve, and you said it yourself many times, and we'll get to John's bursting crotch dots or whatever he's got in a minute.
Yes.
You said many times, it's your right during a game to just lose your shit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you pick it all back up afterwards.
But it's also my right to be entertained by you losing your shit.
Well, I do it so you can be entertained. I was disassociating during the first quarter specifically, where you're just seeing all the old sort of familiar at Green Bay. It's dark out. They can't block anybody.
Right, they can't block anybody. They can't get anywhere near the quarterback. They can't.
It's just the seeing those uniforms and all those fucking assholes with their beads and sunglasses on at night. It just makes me so mad. And I can't be partial. I can't be rational.
No.
I can't do any of those things. This doesn't happen against Detroit. This doesn't happen against Minnesota.
No. It's just as soon as you see that stadium and not color.
It doesn't help that it's all obese white people too.
It's the orange hunting suits for me when they do the big crowd pan and you see the orange like just dotted throughout.
Yeah,
I can't. I just can't.
There's
you know,
so much.
That stupid base thing with Copac Go.
Yeah,
can't,
that's horrible.
I can't do it.
Horrible.
Yeah, I look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I was any more reasonable than you were during that game. I might not have vocalized it or texted it.
It's because we knew the day was off on the wrong foot when they didn't have the Jewel wings for you, Sam.
Indeed.
Yeah,
when Jewel called me and told me they couldn't fulfill my order, I knew it was trouble. However, I did try Bada Bing on Lawrence and Clark.
Skype? I thought the owner died.
I believe his son reopened it.
I know. I've heard that they're good, despite
they
the
are quite good.
The hilarious signage in front.
Indeed. So that was what I decided to replace it with, and that worked out. But yeah, it's hard to maintain any level of sanity when it's that, and it'll be the same in 10 days' time when they do it all again here. It's just you see those colors. And your brain just drips out your ear.
Unfortunately, those colors don't run.
Yeah, indeed. So before we get technical, I just want to tell people that it was kind of an extended version of when the Bears drafted Darnell Wright over Jalen Carter. And so I was like, that's it, I'm done. And 45 seconds later, wait, hang on. This was more an hour and a half of that exact emotion.
Yeah, they got me back. You know, I think
they did,
and I'm very impressed by that. I just, you know, I before John gets into it, I'll just say overall, if you're not feeling like this team has such potential and is already good, which every kind of piece of information I consumed after the game was most analysts saying they just continue to prove that they're good. They're not a joke. They're not getting
right.
lucky.
Well, what would you think the narrative would be if they played the exact same game in LA? Like, let's say, you know, that's the other best team in the conference,
yeah.
right? I think we can all agree.
Yeah.
So let's say they go and play the Rams and they don't look very good the first half, which they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But then they really stand up, make it a game in the second, and are one play away from sending it to overtime or possibly a 2-point conversion to win it. And they do that against the Rams. Do you think the narrative would be?
Yeah.
You know, I hate that word. Do you think it'd be different?
No, I think it'd be the same.
Yeah.
And I think that the narrative is, okay, we're impressed, is because whether we like it or not, that's probably the best or second best team in the conference,
if not the league,
on the road, at basically one of the only games on, again. In horrible weather, and you got punched in the face, and you got back up, and you got back into it, and it didn't look like a fluke. They were consistently moving the ball. They did things to the Packers defense that no one's done to them, especially at their building this year. And I think left me feeling like they can and potentially should beat them in 2 weeks. So, like we talked about, obviously beating them twice would have been ideal. But if you're going to split, which is a very acceptable outcome, unfortunately, that means you have to lose one of them.
Which sucks.
You lost one of them.
It always sucks.
Yeah.
To them.
Like, no matter what Dan Bernstein says at the beginning of the year, there's no loss where you're going, well, they lost the right way. You know, they still lost. It still stinks.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good. You know, but this is the year, like Sam has said and written, subscribe to his newsletter, of holy shit, let's enjoy this, because if this game happens next year, you're not going to see, oh, well, they showed good heart. This is the year for that. Next year, not.
No. I mean, like 9-4 in second place, right? They're still in second place.
Well, yes, but obviously they're now at the bottom rung of the playoff ladder, which is
right.
really what matters.
Well, right. Week 15 next year, if you're 9-4 and the 7th seed and not leading the division, that's going to feel a little light. But it doesn't now. I think what I feel about Sunday, and I sort of feel about the whole season, and I sort of feel about Caleb Williams, is I watch it and I see everyone's reaction to it, and I'm like, you know what? You can get whatever you want out of this game, and I can't necessarily say you're wrong. I thought the second half was a lot of fun. I thought it might have been like the best football they've played all year, both sides.
And I think you could say, like, for a neutral, that was a supremely entertaining football game.
It would have to be.
Yeah.
But you could also say, okay, but you got to do that for 60 minutes. The first half was bad, and I couldn't disagree with you.
No.
And if you want to say, well, the reality is that the team is probably in between those two things, yeah, it probably is. We haven't really, you know, we haven't seen them put 60 minutes together against a team that quality. They simply just haven't played one. There aren't that many of them, honestly. So we don't, you know, we're figuring out where they stand. I'll be really curious what it looks like when they play them again. And, you know, Ben's got some tape and some feel to it. But yeah, I've tried to make it clear. I've enjoyed this team this season. This is all candy. I'm really excited to see how the season finishes. Am I as rose-colored as Slack and John? Maybe not, but I'm certainly not the doomsayer that you can find out there that says, you know, this isn't working or this is all smoke and mirrors. I'm certainly not that. I just feel like Sunday was a perfect microcosm of this season. There's a lot to like. There's enough to complain about. It's kind of your perfect Jewish dinner out. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. John, before we get to your archives that you've pulled out from this top secret building with top men, let's get to your yellow pad.
Oh, you want to do the yellow pad first? Because I wanted to kind of solidify.
Well, we'll do
Andrew's
it whatever order you
here.
Think is appropriate.
Okay, I want to solidify Andrew's thoughts because and his feelings from Sunday. I want you to guess when was the last time that the Bears came back down multiple scores from the Packers to tie the game or take the lead?
In Green Bay or at all?
I think the hamster fell off.
Oh, no.
Now there you are.
Oh, God. All right.
Anyway.
When was the last time you think the Bears came back from down multiple scores from the Packers, home or away?
Oh, geez.
Do you have the answer?
Yes.
He's got the answer. He wouldn't be bringing this up unless he knew.
It's not the Josh McCown game, is it?
Is it the 2010 game they won in overtime?
No, earlier. It's more recent than that.
Okay.
You're probably not going to remember it. I barely remembered this game.
No, I probably won't. All right, give me a clue. Is it home or away?
This one was at home.
Okay.
It's Soldiers.
It's Soldiers. And it's more recent than 2010.
Yes.
Was it last year?
No.
No, God, no.
Well, they were in position.
Yeah, but they never got there. That was the thing.
I forget how the back and forth like of the actual scoring went, whether they eventually took a lead and coughed it up or whatever.
Was it a Jay Cutler led effort?
No.
Huh. Was it a McCown led effort?
No.
McGowan.
No.
Okay. Oh, I'm stumped. Slack, do you want to?
No, I don't know.
2016. Matt Barkley was your starter.
What?
They were down 27-10 and came back to tie it 27-27 before Rodgers took him down and kicked a field goal.
Was this like a week 18 throwaway?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
This was John Fox, was it not?
100%. Yep.
Yeah.
2016, that was on Christmas Eve, yes?
It was really cold, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was in LA. Okay.
So that was,
there it
so
is.
It's been 12 games since they, or no, more than that, almost 18 games since they've come back from multiple scores down.
Yeah, I suppose it's
now,
more interesting what's a game
guess,
where they did it that mattered.
Yeah, now guess the last time they did that at Lambeau Field to come back down multiple scores.
Oh, Jesus.
To tie or take the lead.
McCown.
Before that.
Oh. Jeez.
To take the lead.
To tie or take the lead, he said.
Tie, take the lead. Oh, God. Rex never did it.
You're in the area, though. You're in the area code there.
2007?
Orkman. Correct.
Really?
With Greasy.
Greasy. Oh. Okay. Oh, yeah. Is that a Monday night?
Monday.
Yeah. Sunday night. They were down 17.
Night.
They were down 17-7 at half and came back to win 27-20.
Ugh. That was almost 20 years.
Yes, that they came back down two scores just to tie or take the lead.
So what you're saying?
So what I'm saying is that Andrew was completely justified in his feelings on Sunday.
Andrew's always justified in his feelings.
That's what makes them. That's what makes them feelings. They can't be wrong.
Feelings, feel bad and feel good. Okay. Is that what you're bringing out from the archives? Or is
that, that's the archives. I wanted to start there because I just want to say how difficult it has been for the Bears for 20 some damn years to do anything that doesn't go exactly to plan to win up at Lambeau. Like the Packers have to just kind of like fall on their faces for it to even be a game and then have the Bears even have a chance to win. And that was completely, I mean, that was not the case at all. The Bears in the second half kind of took the game to them. If it weren't for, you know, those quick scores that the Packers had, you know, it's a completely different game. Obviously, that's the Wonstead line.
Can't say that, though.
Right? No, I know. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
He's not saying.
That they hung around in that game as the Packers were playing about to the level that they're capable of playing.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. But
and when was the last time we could say that? I mean, that's going back to the Lovey era, the beginning of the Lovey era.
No, and what I think is more impressive about how they got back into it is they didn't do it by, you know, getting a strip sack or an interception and a short field and, you know, scoring quickly.
Right.
No.
And they didn't,
Lord knows we would have liked it if they had that first one.
No, Sam, your point is they actually got the ball and went down the field.
Got
multiple
the ball
times.
And moved it, and then
matched them score for score.
Matched them score for score. Now the defense did mostly what it had to, except when it really had to. But we're not really counting on the defense this season. If you're, you know, if the Bears are in a position where they're like, defense, go win this game, we'd all be like, eh, it's probably not going to happen. But, you know, if we say offense, go win this game, we're like, yeah, we're pretty confident that it will. So I can't get too mad about the defense giving it up. You'd like to see them hold them to a field goal, and you'd like to see your highest paid player make the play he's in position to make. I'm tired of Josh Jacobs. He only seems to have a good game against the Bears.
Correct. Never breaks a tackle except if it's against the Bears.
Right. I'm tired of this guy. It never ends.
Even when he was with the Raiders.
Yep. It just never stops. Vikings too, right? Wasn't he there?
No.
No.
No, not yet.
Just a Raider.
Yeah, not yet. Is a good
one. Not yet. Play. Soon enough. But yeah, I'm never going to say I walked out of that game feeling good because it's a loss of the Packers and who feels good. But at least for a half, and I guess when you're saying at least for a half, that's sort of loser talk. The Bears look like a better team than I thought they were, which I guess is heartening.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've been losers for 20 years, and the fact that
so I guess we are losers.
And really bad losers at that. So what, you know, when it would be down multiple scores in that building, it was pack it in and go home. And
right,
that wasn't the case.
Because at halftime, and I don't know if we spoke about this, but certainly at my watch party, it went unspoken that at halftime, it's like, Packers are going to get the ball, drive right down, it'll be 21-3, and this is going to get ugly. And like,
correct,
we're going to be firmly in our place,
mm-hmm,
as we always are. And as I wrote, it's actually kind of more comfortable to be there. I'm used to it. You know, it's not pleasant or anything, but it's what I know. And then to watch them do that, it's like, oh, this is how it is now. You know, there's things on the line here. They have every right to think, you know what, we deserve to be amongst the discussion for division titles and conference number one seeds and all that. And that's still in play. Win the next two games, aren't you right back to being amongst the number one seed?
Well, and it's no cakewalk for Detroit and Green Bay either.
They're in Denver.
And Detroit's got someone formidable too, I think.
Baltimore, I believe. Does that sound right?
No, they already did.
No, that's they already smacked the shit out of them.
I know they got Pittsburgh and
Bad.
and the Bears left,
Bad.
and
They're playing the fucking
Ram.
Rams.
Oh,
that's pretty good for us, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And then they have the Vikings still. So it's Rams, Vikings, Steelers, Bears. Yeah.
If they lose two of these, they're done, right?
Yes.
I think.
See, to me, if the Bears can win the next two, then I don't care about the last two. I know
if the Bears win the next two, they're in like excellent shape.
I know John will still have a pig's blood reserved for the Niners game. And
the Niners have a horrendous defense.
And I'm skipping out on my partner's family's Christmas so I can be home for Bears Niners to have my own pig's blood party. But the next the season to me is the next two games. You gotta rebound against a bad team. You can't get caught looking ahead, looking behind. You gotta beat a bad team at home because you're better than them, and that's what you do. And then the whole season's on this. You know, you beat that, it's 11 wins, you're in the playoffs. Who cares after that? It's a wildly successful season. 11 wins? Like, even in our most rosy prediction, the best show of the year,
0-17.
We could not do the math to get to 11 wins. There's no way.
What did you guys have them, 9 or 8?
I had 9. John had 10, I believe.
Eight.
You had 10.
No, I had 8, damn it.
Man, you're the producer. You got this written down.
I have a losing record.
You're supposed to have it every week, god damn it.
You sound like an Ann from whatever, from that old score call. You got the paper right there, damn it.
I'm pretty sure John had 10 wins.
Here's coming out of that game, the thing that I'm trying to hang my hat on or whatever. I said this to you guys, if you're a reasonable Packer fan, or if you're, you know, a Green Bay observer or somebody who has watched this quote unquote rivalry for many years, and you watch that game, there's no way you didn't leave thinking, we got to deal with this fucking guy for how long? And this guy could be anybody, but in this case, I'm referring to Ben Johnson.
I think Ben Johnson would have them worried. I think if I were a fan in that position, I'd still be pretty arrogant about it. But yeah.
I don't know how you watch that game from any other lens and think that was not the usual Bears. There's something different.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they came back from down multiple scores and almost won.
John just proved it. It's been 20 years. And they've been down two scores a lot in Lambeau Field.
Yeah, it's just, it is heartening. Now, obviously, they have to finish, but yeah. I was dumbfounded at some of the discourse locally again, which is what exhausts me.
You need to stop doing that to yourself.
Yeah, you gotta stop, dude. Slack, I don't pay much attention to it. What did I miss?
Well, I think you missed a lot of finger pointing and what did I see? I didn't watch the video, but in my YouTube algorithm, I get ESPN 1000 radio hits.
Oh God!
Don't do that. Yeah,
and it was Courtney Cronin saying this game proves the Bears are not a serious contender.
Well, no, not this year.
Not supposed to be. Like, why? I mean, if they were, that would be a huge upset. Like,
so I guess my point is, if you're going on doing your little radio routine, and your takeaway from that game was they're not a serious contender, it just is. It's an overly negative spin on a game where it's not necessary to be overly negative.
I don't know what the term is, but it's taking a position that's so like over the top that you can't be wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like you're taking something and you're exaggerating it. Like, yes, you're right. The Bears are not a serious contender, but they're not supposed to be.
It's like you're answering a question nobody asked.
Right. There's a term for it, but I can't think of it. It's like, this is a bad analogy. What was the supersize me? And the guy's like, look what happens when you eat McDonald's every day. It's like, yeah, we all know that if you were to do that, you're going to look like and feel like shit. You're not telling me anything.
Tell me about it.
Right. So like, you go out and say, well, the Bears are, yeah, no shit. They're not, like, we're not, I'm not sitting here like no one came into this season and be like, well, Bears better be in the NFC Championship game. Like this is all a surprise. And all that game showed me too is like if things break the right way, get a couple bounces, maybe get a home playoff game, they could fluke their way to an NFC Championship game. Why couldn't they?
They just showed you that they could go score for score and a half with one of the top teams in the NFC. And
key phrase there, though, John.
What?
In a half.
Correct, but that's all you need in the NFL these days sometimes with certain opponents.
Yeah, look, they were in a position to win the game. They made a play that didn't work out.
I mean, I'm sometimes all for Ben Johnson, without saying it, calling Courtney Cronin a moron every week. It's which seems to be a weekly occurrence
the
now.
The question she asked him was so stupid. And it makes me feel like I'm picking on her, but.
Oh, she's not the only dumb Bears cover. Bears
no,
writer,
there's,
you know?
There's much dumber ones, I would argue, but like just, you know.
I got to say, these days I pop on the pregame show for the score more often because I'm driving more often than I have been before at games. And Matt, we've talked about this on here before, but I got to reiterate, how does Mike Mulligan get a career in radio and he can't talk?
I'm personally stammering right now with incredulousness at the fact that, yes. Well, and the fake laughter, too.
Bad. I mean, like, I actually don't mind Olin and Manley. I think they're decent enough. It's better than whatever a thousand's got going on. With Yurko, you know, God bless him and all, you know, when I knew him, and Peggy, and I love Peggy, but no, not having that. But Jesus, he can't talk. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. That's just moving, you know what it's like? I guess it's moving the goalpost to a point that no one asked you to. Like, well, you know, Bears aren't a serious contender. Okay, great. But that's not the test here. That's not
Caleb's not an MVP. Well, no one thought he was going to be. It was clearly a fucking mess.
I want to get to Caleb a little bit.
You're welcome for the segue.
Like he has set a bar at this point where everyone's like, oh, he didn't make the last throw, therefore he's a failure. It's like, well, he's not always going to make the last play. No one goes
literally
watch
any other game any week of the NFL.
Right. Not everyone bats 1,000 on the last play.
This is the Jordan commercial about, like, I've taken the last shot God knows how many times. I've failed over and over and over and over again, and that is why I succeed.
Funny you should mention, is this town still poisoned from Michael Jordan?
Yes, 100%.
Like, it's been fucking 30 years.
Everybody in the NBA still is fucking poisoned from Michael Jordan. Right, but this town, yes.
This town assumes in every sport that if you make every last shot, that that's just what the best player on a team does. And it's like, that's not how it works. Like, yeah, he should have made that throw. He should have seen it quicker.
I mean, like, and more recently, like, it's not quite to Jordan level, but fucking Kane is an all-time killer in that sport. In that sport, and then among, like, the conversation in this town and among like any, you know,
but and we know quite well, everybody hated him until the second or third cup. Yeah.
Right.
And then they couldn't wait to email me threats to defend him.
Right. Right. Those same people that hated him because of how small he was then were defending his honor.
Yes. I mean, you know, the last drive certainly, but I thought the second half, I thought there were some throws in there that we haven't seen all season. I'm like,
no,
that
the
is.
The combat throw. Yeah. Like, what the, who
right.
fucking does
but
that?
But not even just that. The, you know, in the pocket, rifling it between two zones, like, you know, that stuff. And he didn't hit every one. I think his game, much like the Bears game overall, you can see what you want. Yeah, it wasn't great. It was bad in the first half, and it's got to be better. I do worry that it's a little same gag where if it's not, you know, the first two reads aren't there, he just scrambles to his right. That seems to, you know, that gets repetitive. That's not something you can do for years and years and years. But I'm not leaping to that conclusion now, which a lot of people seem to want.
Well, that's because by design, where Ben wants chunk plays, you don't necessarily always have, you don't have a check down right there. You don't have Swift or Menungai. And do you even really want Menungai attempting to catch the ball?
No. No. Can't.
He can't do it.
He's incapable of. And Swift, too. Swift dropped a ball that went right through his fucking hands. And also, stop falling down, everyone.
Looking at you, St. Viator's finest.
Yeah, but he's at least catching the ball and falling down. There's multiple right. guys who fall down See, before the ball even
I'll
gets
take
to them.
Catching the ball and falling down over just falling down and not catching the ball.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Get your cleats fixed or whatever. Yeah.
But there's but like a lot of these play designs don't necessarily have a quick check
yes,
like a guy.
It's a big boy offense. He's asking him to do real shit. It's gonna take time. People in this town apparently don't have the time.
Here's what I was thinking about, and I don't know what this list would be for the Packers, and I suppose we could get to them in a second. Both sides of the ball, how many playmakers would you say the Bears have?
Both sides?
Yeah, on both sides of the ball.
So I guess let's count it off here. Caleb, obviously, and then I guess incomplete on Rome, incomplete on Burden. I would say trending towards yes on Colston.
Like, you can't give a full on Loveland, but I would say
that's what I'm saying. Trending, yeah,
yeah, trending.
DJ used to be.
Who did?
DJ Moore used to.
Yeah,
be.
Yeah, he used to be.
He's cooked. He's cooked.
Feels cooked. Swift has been at times.
I'm not going there. I don't think so.
So you have a quarterback and then nothing is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Quarterback and one probably.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that you want more from Rome Odunze.
Well, if he's been battling a stress fracture,
yeah,
that's fine.
That's,
but
that's
before
different.
That, make a contested catch like once.
Also true.
They don't believe in contested catches.
Well, he doesn't make them, so I guess he.
It doesn't matter. Yes, you might as well not believe in them.
Yeah.
On defense.
Jalen Johnson.
Okay.
Kyler, but always hurt.
Can't put Kyler on the list if he's not out there.
Yeah, Kyler's off.
You got to put Nashawn there.
Yeah, I guess you do.
I guess, yeah.
Leads the league in takeaways. That
do we
counts.
Think he's
yeah,
like...
Yeah, can't be a guess.
I would not...
Do
I
you think he's going to be around for a while?
I don't
no,
think so, no.
I don't think so.
I would say
no.
Byard. Like, Byard's like...
Yeah, Byard's a playmaker. Okay.
Byard's
yeah.
is like... What, but it's
around for a while?
I mean, he's under contract, but he's aging, so... Who knows? Okay. But like, he's had a nice fucking career for himself.
Yeah.
Like consistently.
We can't put Sweat on this list, right?
Montez is having an okay year.
He's having an okay season. He had a tough first few games, but he's
okay season doesn't scream to be playmaker.
No, he's a playmaker. He's made differences in games that have turned the outcome around.
Yeah.
So max, we're talking about four. Long term.
Well. Long term is a different question. You said now.
I'm just saying, like, the playmakers on this team going forward, the ones they're going to be built around.
Well, no. Then
well, who's
you're
built
changing,
around and who's a playmaker
not,
now
yeah,
are two different
things.
You're moving the goalposts now, damn it.
I'm sorry.
Then
Sam Cronin?
Burden would be a playmaker. You would qualify him as one.
If Rome isn't a playmaker, then you fucked up.
Yes. So.
but he might have fucked up.
We're talking about this season. Right
okay.
now.
Okay, we'll limit it to this season. Then that's not Rome. It's not Burden. I mean, I think it's impressive that the Bears have 9 wins and they still kind of lack top-end talent.
Oh, no, clearly in some of these cases here, they're doing it with snot and elbow grease. But, again, that's the whole thing, is win while developing. That everyone's been hammering on that's been the fun part of this. So
right. But our off season, and we're not going to do this podcast now, but our off season will be complete terror that the guy who has kind of failed to find enough playmakers is going to be in charge of finding more playmakers.
Yeah, that's the biggest. That's the scariest thing about this.
I feel like
situation
again. Whether it's made official or not, like I think. Poles is now basically the mater D for Ben.
And that's fine, but like, that doesn't give me, I don't know that means he's going to draft the right guys and sign the right guys.
We don't know what Ben's personnel talents are either.
Yeah, just like I just don't know.
But he knows the types of guys that he wants for, yeah, to fill roles for sure. I mean, and not everything's a one-to-one transposition of like, I need to have an Amon-Ra, I need to have a Jahmyr Gibbs, I need to have...
I mean, you know, like looking across the floor, like if the Packers are the standard now in the division, and they might be, you know, is Christian Watson, are we putting him on that list?
Too dingy.
Well, yeah, when he's healthy. Yeah, when he's healthy.
But dingy. The tight end who got hurt definitely is, but he's dingy.
Yeah.
We have to say Love is because he keeps making them.
Absolutely.
And they certainly have three or four on defense.
Yes. They're like on paper, they're a much better team than the Bears.
Yeah. I mean, they should be at this point given where the arcs are.
Yeah. They've been doing this for a while. You don't acquire Micah Parsons if you don't feel like you're a Micah Parsons away from winning the Super Bowl, which they felt, and it doesn't seem like they're wrong right now.
I just don't want it to happen.
Exactly, and it won't. Right. But it still could. It just won't.
Correct.
And I take a lot of comfort in that.
Mm-hmm. Can I get Andrew to get maybe a little basked in pig's blood for this weekend?
You want to talk Browns?
I want to talk about Shadur.
Yeah.
Who's now getting hyped up because of his performance against the Titans. And he's had three good games in a row, according to the experts and analysts.
That's interesting, John.
Mm-hmm.
No one who's actually watched the game would say that. But,
anybody, they look at the stat line, Sam, and they say, oh, he had a QB rating of 90-something against
the
Niners.
Box score hunters. There's no, there's no honor in that. None.
Yep. Yep.
There's no honor.
So I'm right.
Again,
pick number four.
I'm sorry. I don't care what you did against Tennessee. You lost to the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
And they ran it up on your allegedly, excellent defense, too. That was my whole
31 points. Tony Pollard had 161 yards rushing. So
he's clinically dead.
I think the blueprint for Sunday is real clear.
It's going to be awfully cold, so
it's
going to
be freezing cold. You're going to run the fucking ball.
Yep.
And you'll get them to
up
quit.
Their ass.
You get Sam's two scores right away, and they're going to do the old foldo.
And if you get ahead, Shadur is going to go ahead and throw four or five interceptions.
You better. This is how I know I'm getting old. One of my Bears buddies said that there was a good possibility he'd have extra tickets.
Nope.
For Sunday, and I took one look at the forecast and went, nope. No, thank you.
No.
No chance. 13 degrees? No, I'm out.
I'll sit and drink
noon, though.
I'll sit and drink Jameson and orange juice by myself, goddammit.
You know what? Now I'm gonna. Fuck you. Won't be by myself though. I'll have my other Bears buddy, but
I mean, you cannot look at a Browns Titans game and draw any conclusions.
Right.
If you are, shame on you.
What is
they lost 26-8
a week for the Niners. A week 14 Browns Titans game, mind
yes.
you.
Yes.
Where the Browns are on their ninth quarterback.
Give me a break. I'm shocked. I think fuck me, man. This is such bullshit.
Well, this is where I would try and sell you on the newsletter I get, the Two Deep Zone. I send you guys occasionally stuff. And while he's a Bears agnostic, he gets the stuff like this, the Shadur stuff. He cuts right through it. Like, he watches the game. You know, he goes through the film and he's like, here are the throws this guy made. Like, two dump off, 2 yards, dump off, like, check down, screen pass. He's like, this isn't anything. This
is not Mason Rudolph. We already beat that guy.
Right. I mean, honestly, if they beat Cleveland on Sunday, which they should, and that's 10 wins, that there is a wildly successful season. It's getting warped by the position they're in and the opportunities that are there for them because, let's face it, it's an underwhelming conference. It's an underwhelming league this year. There really isn't a super team. And it's really hard to not let your mind wander and dream a little bit, but Jesus Christ, 10 wins from this team that had five last
10
season
wins
like
by
that.
Week 15. Yeah.
Yeah. That is a massive leap. That's the kind of leap we've been begging the Hawks to take.
All because they don't have a moron of a coach.
Right. So, I mean, you might have the best coach in the league. Like, you can make that statement, and it's not only not ridiculous, it very well might be right. Like, you've got a coach that, like, other teams are jealous of. And it's not that.
And everyone knew it at the time.
It's not the backwards hat moron in Washington from last year who's catching lightning in a bottle.
Oh, man.
We've seen before. It's not Matt Nagy.
It might be Vrabel, though, too. Like, that's legit. Like, the coaching job there, I think, is legit. He's done.
Well, if the Bears haven't played anybody, then the Patriots haven't played anybody.
No, clearly not.
Well, the Bears have played somebody the last 2 weeks. The Patriots still have not, other than Buffalo in week two or whatever it was.
And right. Buffalo is such.
Yeah,
so
Buffalo's
bipolar.
Up and down. Yeah, they lost to the. Mm-hmm. They got killed by the Dolphins.
Right. If the Bills walk into Foxborough Sunday and win by 20, would you really be surprised?
No. No. And yeah. I don't know.
All right, then.
It's just like last thing is, like, you know, the Bears have to win this week, and if they do, it's easy dismissal because it's the Bears.
Then everyone gets all you know, starry eyed and delusions of grandeur again if the schedule breaks the way that it could, given the matchups elsewhere in the division. Also,
Well, I mean, this is the good part about playing 2 out of 3 and. The way that the game shook out on Sunday, that
I think you take care in of Denver too. Yeah,
right. you take care of business against Cleveland, and you're right back in the same spot you were the week before. And that loss in Lambeau doesn't really mean all that much
because they've got that stupid ass tie
at Soldiers. Yeah, right. If you take care of business at Soldiers, then everything is fine, and you're back where you were 2 weeks ago. So where you're just like Andrew. You went through this whole existential crisis, and then at the end of it, you finished right where you started.
There's your end point. You know what's funny is that in the years to come, when the Bears have a late, you know, December game against a bad team, and they just win it, you know, they don't blow them out, but, you know, they win 27-17 or something like that. The narrative, the story will be, hey, it's December, you just get your wins, it doesn't matter, right? Like, you just...
Correct.
You got to do it. You know, it's the conditions are bad. It's late in the season. Everyone's beat up and hurt. You just get your wins. You know, they win 27-20 on Sunday. People would be like, "Wow, you got to blow out the Browns." I mean, come on. You know, if you're a real team, you gotta blow this team out. Like,
December, or you could lose to them like Green Bay. Yeah,
right. December.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Get your wins. I don't care. I'd like it if they blew them out. I'd like them to make it easy. I don't want to have to have a Caleb fourth quarter drive to beat fucking Cleveland, but just get it done.
Ideally, yeah, it's T-Bag out there freezing his pecker off, and Caleb is nice and bundled, sitting right by the blower and the heater.
Hey, buddy. All right, well, let's pivot a little ways west, down Madison to the Hawks, who... Right before we recorded this, seemingly rebounded from a pretty ugly combination of games in L.A. and Southern California, beat a bad Rangers team. Today, for those who didn't see, I wrote about the unique accomplishment the Hawks will likely pull off this year, which is I only went back 10 years. If I had a Stathead hockey account, maybe I could have gone back farther.
But the entirely different era.
Entirely different era. Only one team in the past 10 seasons has had a top 10 scorer and a top 10 goalie and missed the playoffs. That was the 2015-16 Flyers with Drew Voracek and Steve Mason.
Wow.
As I went through, it was actually rare to see a team that had one of a top 10 scorer or top 10 goalie finish with less than 80 points. 80 to 85 points for this team would put them.
That's a quantum leap, yeah.
It'd be a quantum leap, and it would give them actual expectations for next season.
Which I don't think they want.
I don't think they want either, but they'll have them. But that is.
Oh, they'll have them. Yeah,
I wonder if Bedard knows that they're not supposed to have expectations next year. I wonder how that sits with him.
I mean. It might not sit well, but what are his options?
He's not thinking about next year.
Yeah. I know. But like when
he's
the time
about February.
Well, when the time comes to fucking sign a deal too, like he's
right,
he's,
but he can't. He's not gonna demand out.
No, I know, but still.
So
it'd make things a lot more fucking entertaining if hockey players would do that kind of thing.
It's true. I know John wanted this guy. Let me be frank. It's a rough study. You know, it's not perfect. There's certainly a lot more factors than that, but I feel like it still would be a pretty unique accomplishment.
Well, it's like a quality start. Like, it's a pretty good indicator that they're going to keep you from being in the toilet completely, having one or the right. other, and God forbid both.
Yeah, but having both and not even coming close to the playoffs is... I don't know how to feel about it, John.
Where did Voracek and Giroux land in the top 10?
I believe they were fourth and eighth.
And then Mason
there.
Was where in the top 10?
In the middle.
Is this okay. save percentage or G? Or...
I went by save percentage, yeah.
Regular rough. Starter, and like how many games did he... Were they completely undone by a cavalcade of shitty backups?
I mean, they were undone.
I don't remember.
I mean, it's the Philadelphia goddamn Flyers, so they had a shitty goalie on the roster somewhere. Right.
And I'm sure they hated Steve Mason, too.
Efforting. Give me one sec while you fill in the blanks here.
Oh, okay. Not at all. My thought, the reason why I asked that question was because I was thinking where if Spencer Knight is top five goaler and Connor Bedard finishes top five scoring and they're still scraping around like 75 points, like that is a historical just... They're surrounded with Dreck. Like how I don't know how you.
Steve Mason was third, by the way, with a 928. Okay. He played. It was 2015. Also, he started 48 games, so it's not quite a starter's load, but it's more than part time.
And they finished 84 points, so they were probably what 10 points out of the playoff spot, or maybe six.
84 points. They were 10.
Oh, that was the god-awful 14. Jamie Benn 87-point art.
Yeah,
Ross.
That was the 87-point leading scorer, so it's a little skewed.
Nevertheless, yeah, I mean, I'm glad you did that research, Sam, because, it kind of proved
Giroux
point
was 11th, Voracek was 5th. Sorry.
Yeah. And they weren't at the beginning of anything. That was the last sort of gasp.
Yeah.
Of,
yeah. It's just, it just shows you the how... easy it is in hockey to kind of build a pretty good team if you got the guy who can constantly score and the guy who can keep the puck out of the net.
It's the goddamnedest thing, isn't it?
It's crazy. if you can have somebody that do it at a really high pace, you should be okay enough to at least be in the hunt, so to speak, which I guess the Hawks are at this point. So
I mean, technically, yeah, they're still around the wild cards.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't be officially stating they're not going to make the playoffs. They could.
It was definitely a bad trip out west. But yeah, I mean,
good Hawks teams had bad trips out west.
True,
indeed.
Especially with that's like an entire week in LA. Who knows what they were doing on their free time?
We like to joke about that and say that, but I don't. I read too many things about players aren't like that anymore.
No, Gen Zs don't do anything anymore.
They don't
drink, they don't smoke, they don't bang. And if my NHL.com standings are correct, they are currently in this first wild card spot somehow. So
there you go.
They're not going anywhere the way this league works. You kind of put yourself in this spot and they'd have to lose like six or seven in a row,
which they're perfectly capable of doing.
They're in a stretch right now where they've won 3 of 10 and they're still not out of the wild card spots.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
Or 3 of 11. I'm sorry.
It works.
So, yeah.
I wish they could play the Rangers every day.
That is a bad
that
outfit.
Stinks.
It's a bad
and
look.
And it's boring.
Lifeless. Why did Lifeless. Sullivan want to go there, of all places?
Money.
What was his motivation?
Money? Prestige? I don't know.
He really likes New York? Alexis Lafreniere.
I mean, John, if they offer you to move from Pittsburgh to New York, you're probably going to take it.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, he had his pick of the teams last offseason, and he had his mindset of going to New York from the get-go. It was like a done deal as mm-hmm. soon as he became a free agent.
Well, they get the Blues next, and the Blues are a minus 30.
On Hockey Reference, whatever this computer-generated AI, LLM, machine learning, fucking thousand simulations of the season, Hockey Reference has the Hawks at basically 88 points, which, again, quantum leap from...
That's massive.
Yes.
That would be a massive jump, and it would only be due to Bedard and...
Knight.
That wouldn't get you in the playoffs.
No. But it gets you playing games that sort of count in March and April.
And losing them all.
Oh, probably.
it would give you some pretty good intel on some of the players.
Well, and like, again, it's the huge paradigm shift after the trade deadline, too, where you basically have to make a decision. And, of course, Kyle will probably do nothing. The most frustrating.
Will do nothing.
The most frustrating.
He said that.
But like,
God,
I don't need
such
him
a bitch.
I mean, he's going to trade Murphy or whatever, but, you know, the only trades I want to see him make are one that, like, he gets a guy, but it's a guy who's going to be here a while. You know, I don't see him getting a rental to.
No, yeah, no, like,
that's
again,
pointless,
but... credit where due. Again, he made a hockey trade with Seth for Spencer Knight. So far, it looks like everyone's getting what they wanted out of that.
I have to make a correction. I said Kyle hasn't proven he can find solutions from outside of the organization. That's not entirely true. He got Spencer Knight.
That's looking like an unequivocal win so far.
Yeah. It's only 30 games this season, but it looks pretty good. I mean, you know, we'll see how he handles a full starter's load. I think he'll get tired because I don't think they trust Arvid Fjord to take more than, 20, 25 starts?
Well, you got to just start, like... Once things start to slip, you just got to get the cavalcade of backups behind him and see who see what you got. And everyone, they're gonna have to if what's his fucking face, Brassois, ends up like actually being healthy. They've got to trade he's gonna need to get a few starts in to even be tradable. So
yeah, you gotta prove that he can stand up.
Exactly.
John Select, we have Chum.
Oh yeah, baby.
John's
speaking of top
chum.
Minds. Speaking
John's
of top minds.
Top minds and top men.
Mm-hmm. So there was a thread this week about when Sam Rinzell got sent down. I'm going through it right now.
Okay.
And Landon's Agert going also down to Rockford.
Slandon Laggert.
Mm-hmm. So here's a good one with 35 upvotes. People asking for Lardis and Korch, but in my opinion, this is a bad time to bring anyone new up. We're going through the most turmoil the team has had this season. Putting any amount of that pressure on Lardis or Korch is not great. I'd hope that the team can right the ship a little bit so there's less pressure, then give the young guys a shot. What? Yeah, that's
I can
exactly
see it. The logic. It's wrong and stupid, but I can
it's
see the
incredibly
logic.
Incredibly stupid.
It.
When it
can't
when
upset
the
apple
NHL?
Cart of the 2-7 in your last.
Right, right. And too much pressure on the young kids. Oh my God.
Fall out of the playoff spot entirely and then bring them up.
As though the Eye of Sauron is burning a hole through their chest. Okay. So then somebody said, replies to this, that had 35 upvotes, by the way. So just, you know, top minds agree. All the top minds agree. Not Korchinski. He isn't what the Hawks need anyways. Bring up Nolan Allen and see if he can make some space in front of the net. I would have said...
Does he know he's not a forward?
I would have said EDM, but he hasn't been much better in Rockford than he was during his disastrous preseason. It's really Allen who should get a look. He's not the solution, but he might be a step in the right direction.
Okay, so then why? If he's not a solution... like...
he's not a solution, but we want to see him anyway.
Yeah, and he sucks. We saw it. He stinks. You don't need to bring him up. Okay, hold on. I'm still efforting down through this thread because there's just a lot of mumbo jumbo.
Oh, I'm sure
here.
There's tons.
Are these as rife with spelling and grammatical and punctuation errors as I'm imagining with all these people typing one-handed?
It's actually not that bad. We should actually do a wellness check on our guy Schwartz Hockey, or at least have do a wellness on people that sit by him at the United Center, because I haven't seen him in a lot of threads, Andrew. I don't know.
Didn't
if
he go back to
him.
New York or wherever he's from?
Well, they still have the internet in New York, as far as I know.
Number one, baby.
No one told him.
Okay, here's a good one. Finally, the Hogs desperately need the boost. So then we got Hogs Corner here in the middle of this thread. And then somebody responds.
Okay.
We haven't had a regulation home win this season. Our two wins were both in overtime.
Could really use the hogs.
This is for the Hogs. Yeah,
hogs
could really
corner.
Use.
Is this that abuser Brett Myers? Sorry, yeah, sue us, whatever. But you were credibly accused. That like
could
that's
really
doing
use a blowout win sometime soon. There's been some games where they look good, but have five catastrophic lapses a game that all end up with a puck in our net. Oh God. Okay. Here's well, now then there's somebody that kind of pipes in and calls them all losers, and he gets downvoted, but he's kind of a loser himself, so I'm not going to read those. Yeah, I think that's it. Those were the high and hard ones.
High and hard ones.
Mm-hmm. There's another one here too about Connor Bedard taking a step forward. Somebody posted that article on NHL.com, and some people kind of pop into call Kyle Davidson a piece of crap, and they get downvoted to hell.
A piece of crap.
Somebody said, "Cool. Too bad he has to do it. Too bad Connor Bedard has to do it without any real help. Since in the 3 years on the team, Kyle Davidson hasn't even tried to get him a top six line mate. Absolute bozo of a GM."
He's right. That's our guy. That's got to be our guy.
16 downvotes.
I was watching the game tonight.
If he's specifically calling him a bozo, then that's got to be a listener.
He's going bozo mode.
And I watched the game tonight. I'm like, all right. I'm thinking if they finish between 80 and 85 points, which again, with a top 10 goalie and a top 10 scorer, is like the buy-in. Barely. I'm like, all right. So what do they do? What does this team look like? I'm like, okay, they're going to add. We know for sure next year they add Frondell and Kanserov, right?
Yeah, they're basically telling Frondell to like be and play selfishly, right? Like, who did I read that from? They're like, they're not concerned about getting bounced all around the lineup. You just play, like, I'm sure that, you know, being in a professional environment that his teammates are thrilled about that.
Yeah, and maybe Lardis is up full time or whatever. So I guess what I thought was, okay, if that's the case, I get it. I don't agree with it. But that still means you have to make one actual trade or signing for an actual top six forward. You have to, one. Just one. I don't care how. I don't care who. You got to make one move. And so that's my minimum. That's my standard for Kyle from Chicago this summer, or even in by the deadline. You got to make one. I'd prefer two or three, but one, that's it. If you just say, no, we're going to, because I don't, you know, I hate doing this every week where we just talk about the future and it's the same discussion every week. But if you have an 83, 85 point team with a top 10 score and a top 10 goalie, and you just sit there and say, nope, we're still going to wait for the cake to rise in its own time, that's not going to work.
There's no guarantee you're going to get a top 10 goaler season or scoring season the following
right.
year.
Right. You can't ask these guys to maintain the standard while everyone below them finds their game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I found another thread here that this is for Andrew. If we have a moment.
Sure.
We always have a moment for Andrew. Okay.
There's a thread about Nigel. There's a thread about the second hockey Notto that came to Chicago. So Blackhawks were called
Tony Notto.
Tony Notto. Too many Nottos. Somebody in the comments here, 29 upvotes. This is going to really get Andrew's peppers going. People complaining that Lardis wasn't called will be the same people complaining that he won't be playing top 6 minutes from the jump. Rather have Tony Notto play 8 minutes and scratch instead of Lardis missing out on top minutes in Rockford. The same Rockford that can't win a game. That's what we're worried about. Then somebody replies, there's so many people who are going to be whelmed at Lardis. Maybe someday he'll be fantastic, but the expectations are so detached from reality.
The fuck are you talking about? He's 19 and playing against adults.
Lardis is still a major defensive liability. Was not.
That's a great call. I want Lardis up because I want him to play defense.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nazar was not a defensive liability. He'll get his testing time at season end when the pressure's off and there are more roster spots available. Yeah, look how good that turned out this year when you really were able
you
to get a good
your
read
fucking
on players.
Big red wagon to Sam Renzel.
Yeah, and you just shipped his ass out of town. Anyways. Yeah, so there you go.
Stunk dick.
I wanted to throw that one in there for Andrew because it was stunk his dick. Guy Lardis. And some Reddit freaks talking shit about him.
All right. Well, it's time to get to the Cretans. I have not one, not two, but three people poking me about Crevier today, so you can all go screw.
We're stuck with him forever.
Oh, yeah. Never getting rid of him. And yeah. You know what? If he's the third pairing obelisk, fine.
That's not how they see him, though.
That's not
the
how they see him. I know.
Bad marketing.
So Cliff Deutsch, longtime guy, which is better bear weather, 10 degrees at the lakefront on Sunday or 65 degrees indoors at Arlington Heights in 5 years? 65 degrees at Arlington Heights. Don't you think the offense will work better with the conditions perfect?
Yes, please.
Not that I know there's a large stadium. Segment not that of Bears fans. That stadium in Arlington Heights built anytime soon, but...
Yeah, shovels in the ground in 2037.
Yeah, still waiting.
Get excited.
Well, my understanding from the nudes from the stadium is that the roof would be open, but it would be closed. So it would be, even on a on a 10-degree day, they would have the roof open, but it would still be relatively
warmer.
They're
not building
a
retractable roof, John. It's too expensive.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. It's going to be a dome.
It's a
see-through
dome.
But they'll open like the side panels to get a cross breeze going on a nice day. Like Indy does that. I think Minnesota does that.
Dallas.
Too.
No, Minnesota doesn't have any panels, and neither does SoFi, but it's, like, clear or whatever.
Well, SoFi is more of a canopy. It's, like, it's technically open air.
Yeah.
Like, well, like Seattle. In LA. So, yeah.
Let's see. Matt Cohen. I don't know if it's his first time crap or not.
Good luck with your first crap.
Will Chicago ever get a PWHL team, and how fast into their existence will the front office be cracking open skulls and feasting on the goo inside like the Bulls, Bears, Sky, etc.? John, you might know more. I believe the expansion of Fifth Third was with the intention of getting a PWHL team.
That's news to me.
They did the barnstorming where they came here, so I think they're setting the stage.
Matt, I could be wrong, but I believe the... Because they're building like a little arena to Fifth Third, right? They're
kind of, sort of, yeah.
To get, that's where the Slack's nephew's team's going to play or something or some.
Well, the Hawks are going to have a dedicated sheet.
Not anymore. But I believe part of that was to have a 3,000 to 5,000 seat arena for a PWHL team.
Well, that and to get a World Juniors too.
The World Juniors would be at the UC in Rosemont. They don't need.
And Sears or whatever the hell it is now out
right.
in Hoffman.
By the way, I went to a Windy City Bulls game.
I don't know why.
Bluey was there, Sam.
Because he's a pervert.
And that too.
He's a pervert,
but it's actually
for Bluey.
Not bad. You can sit two rows from the court and only have to shell out like $18.
Slack and I have been to Sears a couple times. We don't talk about it, but we've been there.
we weren't happy about it.
But we were there. So anyway, Matt, I think within the next few years, Chicago will have a PWHL team. Do I think they will be run by morons like every other team in this town? Of course, it's tradition. Anyway, that's
and
all
they'll
I
get,
have.
And they'll get to present something to the Pope, too.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, I have one from Leo Ward at Poo Rusher. Or Poor Usher, sorry. Poo Rusher. Holy shit. Jalen Hurts' double boner has me thinking. What's the worst line an athlete can have in sports? 0 for 5 with 5 Ks. QB goes 7 of 22 with 4 picks. Goaler stopping 2 of 9 shots. If you have a specific example, boner points for you.
Oof. That's a tough to pick. They're all equally bad.
Hurts is in the team photo. I don't know, like the golden sombrero, like you're out there by yourself. You know, like there's
call that the Adam Dunn on the White Sox special.
Yeah. If you do that, but also like make a couple errors, I feel like that would
be. There's no mitigating factors there. Like you just stood out there and you fucking sucked. You know,
what about
like,
that Ryan Pressly inning from earlier this season?
That's up there too. Yeah,
he gave up like nine runs, but he didn't get an out or something.
the infinite ERA is a tough hang.
The INF, yeah. That's my whole thing has always been a 0.000 batting average looks better than like 0.21 or whatever.
You know, what aesthetically.
Like, yes. I believe back in the day, and Sam might remember this, Damon Buford got off to a very horrific start.
I don't remember Damon Buford.
I mean, famously, Robin Ventura did.
Yeah, didn't he go like 0 for 40 or something?
Yeah, and then Steve Lyons had to get him like catatonic, hospitalized drunk. I think
he managed the Mets. Yeah. Or the Yankees. Who did he manage?
The White Sox.
Why not? It's the White Sox. I'm sorry. Yeah, that
one. That was just a Tuesday in Kansas City for Steve Lyons. Like that was just incidental.
I mean, like you know, the Jalen Hurts thing is bad, but like you know, there could be a.
That's more of a fluke. That's more of a fluke single
ball,
play.
Yeah,
that was. I mean, it was a tough night for him in general, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad luck and being bad, all combined.
Also, football's so stupid because most of football discussion is around, is this quarterback the guy or not?
Yeah.
Is he the guy or not? And it's like, Jalen Hurts is clearly not the guy, and he's won a Super Bowl and been to another.
Yeah. And played awesome in both of them.
Right.
And wasn't he in a fucking national title game, too? Like,
I believe he won said national title game. So, or no, he wasn't. He got pulled, right?
He got pulled for Tua.
The goaler that can't make a save is really tough to watch, though.
That's the most uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like, I always think of the game that Cristobal Huey had in Columbus in 2010, which basically sealed his fate here.
Yeah.
And I think the Hawks ended up winning that game like 10-7 or something.
I think they lost it, but it was something like that, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think they maybe they did lose.
I mean, it was the game we were at, Sam, the down 5-0 to Calgary. In a hurry.
That didn't help.
That was earlier in the season.
No, but this one was later in the season. This was like at the end when they were still, they didn't have Niemi at that point, or they had Niemi, but they weren't sure if he could handle it. And then they just decided, we're not going to worry about
it
if he can handle it.
March 25th, they lost 8-3
to Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ugly.
And I want to say they were down 3-0, tied it at 3, and then all of a sudden, it was a closer game. Yeah.
Steve Mason was the goalie for this game.
There you go. We're full circle.
Was
it ever a close game in that box score, Sam?
I'm efforting. They actually played Columbus 3 days later at home. Anyway.
Huey's final stat line, too, for that season with... It's bad, but it's not as bad as you like the. It's not as absolutely awful as you remember it.
Huey made 20 saves on 27 shots, and it was 3-2 after one.
Okay,
I'm looking at the penalties. Sorry,
did
my bad.
Did Q let him wear it?
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he let him wear it as much as he could, but he did get pulled with 5 minutes to go.
That's a spiteful pulling at that point.
I think they were really trying to get his confidence up, as Wani would say.
Well, the goalie guild guy would say he just needs to see more shots and get a rhythm going.
Right.
That was his thing with every
Met had 2 goals that night.
I missed the goalie guild. Simpler times.
Hey, could be.
Remember, I think
the book is out.
The thing about old Twitter was that there were just endless accounts you could just shit on, and nobody would be mad at you for doing it. And now that's just over. It's unfortunate.
Entirely different era.
Yeah.
So the Hawks had, after that game in Columbus, John, the Hawks had 9 games left. It was game 73 of the season. Hmm. Would you care to guess how many more Cristobal Huey started?
Zero.
Indeed. Yeah. None. In fact, he never started another game in the NHL.
Wow. History.
Literally, that
history.
Like, see, that you use the turn of phrase, John, sealed his fate. And like, that is in like the Rolling Stones Sympathy for the Devil lyrics context, kind of fate sealing right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if we've got stuff on the main line, let's rip through them. We're running and running clean.
And running on empty.
That's what I wanted.
How many Eusudises do we have here tonight? All right. Christopher Pickens, infrequent guy, but still longtime guy. I know this is early. I'm watching this Bear team, and besides 85-06, this has been my favorite Bear team to watch. Which team of our four major sports has been your favorite to watch?
Favorite to watch? I think I probably had the most fun with the 15 Cubs.
I would say the 08-09 Hawks.
Same for me. That was close.
Yeah. That'd be
it's always the year before where you
were the year before when you weren't expecting much.
Well, that's what we're experiencing right now, aren't we?
Indeed.
And that's what he's saying.
And this is definitely more fun than the 05 Bears because the 05 Bears couldn't score.
Well, and that was the Rex and Orkman debate all year fucking long.
Well, once Rex got healthy, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the 05 season was still fun because it still came out of nowhere.
Well, and the 05 season did have, again, speaking of witch hit cold December games, did have the Michael Vick
and
Rex, yes, and Rex doing the Willis Reed.
Holding his frozen beer.
So it did have that, which counts definitely for in its favor in the positive side of the ledger.
Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, but 15 Cubs, 09 Hawks. I mean,
05 Sox were pretty fun. Like the 04, like there was absolutely no reason, and no one remembered, and no one has talked about it since. The
09 Hawks were like we knew they would be good, but they ended up like the second best team in the West. Like I know they were the 4 seed or whatever, but.
Yeah, it all changed once they fired Savard and brought in Quenneville. That was
So it was they also were playing a brand of hockey that we honestly had never seen,
that the league mm-hmm. kind of hadn't seen. There was only really two or three teams playing that way, and all of a sudden the Hawks were one of them. It was the Wings and maybe the Sharks and maybe the Penguins, but a slightly different variations on it. But the Wings were the clear, and like they had to eat shit. You know, much like the girl outside the Whirlaway on her bike. After that game, people who are deep into Uncle Dale lore know about that one.
You know, what's a fun fact about the 08-09 Hawks?
Is that
the year they brought Pat Foley back.
It was. Yeah, it was the first full season under McDonough and Rocky. Because the old man kicked it, and they sort of took over.
Like November of 07, yeah. And then there was the bloodless Peter Wirtz coup also shortly after.
I just don't think people who were not there understand the Dan Kelly era.
No.
I don't think I understand the Dan Kelly era, and I was there for it.
Nothing could be worse.
I literally checked out and sold my shit off. Like, so, yeah, no,
he makes
it was
Chris
bad.
Foster sound like fucking Martin Albert.
Absolutely. Yep.
Marv Albert, actually a great hockey announcer.
I make this comparison for a reason, Sam.
But most people don't know that because he didn't really do national hockey.
No, he did Rangers games on the radio, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He was great. And his wig. All right. What's next?
At Bedard Haver. Who's a player in any sport that doesn't have a garbage son yet that would potentially have the most supreme garbage son to rule them all?
One garbage day.
Well, wow. The one guy who would, it would be impossible for him to have a son, so.
Why is this?
I know exactly what John's saying without saying it, and I agree.
I mean, there's adoption. Are we looking for like strictly like lineage here?
Yeah, no, it's got to be lineage.
Yeah, you got to have the DNA to.
Yeah.
Who are you talking about?
He's talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, thanks.
In his early 40s, and he lives in Springfield.
Here's somebody who I hope has a son one day. Corey Perry.
Yeah, that's.
Well, I think he already has a son. Yeah,
well,
I
mean, a son in the league
playing pro hockey.
Yeah. Oh, I see, I see.
Yeah, like yeah,
Corey
that,
Perry's
that's
son.
That's probably it.
The
Griffin
the
Perry.
The event horizon will be when your nephew plays against him in the NHL.
Yes,
for you, Andrew.
Absolutely. Does your nephew count as a garbage son?
He might. Yeah, kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. He's a garbage nephew.
I don't.
Well, I mean, because
I can't insult your family the way you can insult your family, so I don't want to.
I mean, his dad is a moron. I should know.
And a professional athlete, so therefore,
garbage son.
There we go. Look out for Cash Cieslak.
Dude, I'm seriously.
Does he have?
No, seriously. Look out for it. Could happen.
Does he have an Elite Prospects page yet, Andrew?
Yes. He does.
Kind of frightening.
And he's what, like a seventh grader?
Yes, he's a seventh grader. He's 13.
All right, what's next?
Only a couple more. Feldman from across the hall. Who's going to have the best career out of recent Chicago number one picks? Caleb Bedard or Roach Cholowski?
Isn't it
Roach Cholo?
Is it Roach?
That's what we're calling him.
I have no idea.
Roach Cholo. Wait, what was the repeat the question?
Who's going to have the best career out of the number ones?
Caleb. Who's the Bedard. Other one?
Caleb and
oh,
Bedard.
God, get the fuck out of here. You're just going to. Caleb Bedard or some baseball player that nobody fucking has heard of until yesterday? No.
Roach.
But he's leaning into it. There is the exaggeration in it.
Based on current evidence, I will say Bedard.
Yes. Well, no, I will not say that. Well.
Okay.
Well.
Okay, now you are all getting to hear Slack's emotional journey that we go through every Sunday. So.
Go low.
John's going Cholo.
Nah, I'm just messing around.
Oh. and Mark Yasudis, thoughts on the color on color red versus blue unis worn tonight?
It was my quest.
I was going to give you the opportunity to do customary end of podcast plugs right there, since you wrote a solid, you know, what, 800 words on it yesterday.
This has been my quest. I think the NHL should do away with home and away jerseys and just have your primaries and your secondaries and your tertiaries, which is the word I always forget. I think it looked awesome. I think everyone enjoys it. I haven't heard one person complain about it.
The Rangers should go to those full time just for a change of pace. Like there's nothing wrong with the Broadway blues, but the little bit softer tone, old, you know, the fake vintage look.
I always like the Statue of Liberties, honestly.
The blue or the white Lady Liberty?
The blue.
The white Lady Liberty was kind of an affront to the
Lord. Yeah, it was kind of bad.
Well, they tried them, but like they didn't get the blue right.
Yeah.
They tried bringing them back.
All right. That is it for us, because I'm tired. So we will be back next week on Wednesday because of Matt's travel plans. Thursday, when you're probably listening to it. We will be back, hopefully, after a Bears victory and a couple more Hawks victories. And then we'll be previewing Jewel Chicken Wings. We'll be previewing. Well, I'm not in charge of lunch this week, so I can't
get them for yourself, though.
No, I can't get my own lunch. I'm hosting, so I
just, I'm talking about like tomorrow.
Yeah, just go to the fucking store.
I can do that.
Do you have free will?
No, I don't.
Come on, man. I know you're not going to the office. Just go to Jewel.
Jewel is the office.
How far is the Jewel from you?
About three quarters of a mile.
Oh, my God.
A mile? Lincoln?
Actually, the one at...
It's actually pissing me off now, the more information I get.
This is why you don't ask me questions, Slack.
The one at Addison and Elstead might actually be closer to you, but that one sucks.
Anyway, by the time we return,
that parking lot's a fucking nightmare.
We'll be previewing a second Bears-Packers game to see what kind of leftover reserve of pig's blood John has that he will cover me as well with at some bar on that Saturday night. I don't know if that will be the last podcast, because a Saturday night Bears-Packers game could be the end of us all.
And then you got to come and drink a 40.
And then I got to go drink a 40, but we'll get to that. Anyway, so for Slack, for Matt, for John, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share, and subscribe to the newsletter. Until then, top guys and top men out.